Well, it hardly seems possible that another week has come and gone. For Helen and me, it's gone very, very quickly. Once again, we have enjoyed so much the rich fellowship of the people of God here at Park of the Palms. I would like to thank the brethren of the committee who invited us to come. It has been a delight. And certainly it is our prayer that the word ministered was for His glory and your blessing. I'd like to thank you for coming so regularly and so faithfully. What an encouragement your presence has been here. And I delight, as the message is given, to look into your faces and to see your enjoyment of God's precious word. It's a great encouragement to the speaker, so please keep it up, not only tonight, but through the weeks to come. I would like to commend all in the assembly here for the conference that's sponsored every year. I guess I know a little bit about conferences, having been involved in Elam Lodge for several years. It was a 13-week conference, and come about this time, well, everything was starting to get all mixed up, and you're wondering what you heard in week one, and now here it was week five or six, and as you approach the 13th week, well, it was mental chaos. And physically, you're tired. But in that you've done it unto the one of the least of these, his brethren and sisters, you've done it unto him. And the day of reward will come, and he will bless you here at the park so very, very much. I'd like to thank you for your warm fellowship and your gracious hospitality on so many occasions. I want to thank you for praying for the Family Bible Hour, and we will appreciate your interest in continuing to do so. Please remember us in our ministry as we travel to various assemblies and points within Canada and the United States. In April, we're looking forward to a series of gospel meetings in Morgantown, West Virginia. We'll value your prayers so very much for that. To say how much we have enjoyed your fellowship, your kindness, your hospitality is, of course, impossible. Meals in the dining room have been delicious. And then, of course, all those calorie-laden lunches after the evening meeting. Just fabulous. Thank you so very much. I'm always afraid when I go home from the park to get on the scales back in St. Catharines. There the truth will be told. But I think I got a foretaste of what's to come. The other morning we were walking out of the dining room. And as we walked together, I just lovingly put my arm around my wife's waist, and I couldn't resist the urge I have occasionally to tickle her at that point. And I did. And then when she came down of about 2 to 3 feet, she did the same to me, saying as she did, "I can't even feel your ribs." So that gave me a hint of just how things have gone. But they have been great days, and we thank God for each of you. May you know His presence in the weeks to come. We've been with Elijah in various places throughout his experience. This man who was in all points made like you and me, with all of his strengths, with all of his weaknesses. I don't know about you, but I've looked at him and I've seen, there goes Arnett McEntee. And I'm thankful that Elijah's God is mine. I'm sure you're thankful that he is yours as well. What a God we have. Tonight, I ask myself the question, how would I feel if on Lord's Day morning, as the announcements are being made at the close of the Lord's Supper, the brother whose responsibility it was to do that rose and said, "Now, The next service is at 11 o'clock this morning, followed by our 6:30 service tonight. Tuesday night we'll meet for prayer. And Wednesday at 12 noon, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. I've often wondered how I would respond to such an announcement that the rapture was going to take place this very week. Of course, it may not. It may happen tonight. Wouldn't that be great, as we said a night or so ago? But beloved, we've been talking with, observing a man who knew he was going to be raptured into the presence of God. And he knew the day. How would you feel? How would I, if it were to be Wednesday at 12 noon? How would we feel about life? Life lived and yet to be. How would I respond? How would I order my life from that particular point on? What would be my response and my concern about family and friends that I knew who were still lost and in their sins, going out to meet God, to be exposed to His awful wrath? What would I do? How about some of the saints? Would I find it necessary to go to some of them and say, "My dear brother, I'm so sorry I spoke to you the way I did. Please forgive me." And to that dear sister, who possibly had been slighted, given little respect, a respect she so greatly deserved, what would I say to her? Dear brother, dear sister, someday the rapture's going to happen. Of that we can be sure. We have it in writing. Keep those questions in mind as we go through our study tonight on the life of God's great man named Elijah, and we consider together the day of the rapture. We'll do so reading about it in 2 Kings chapter 2. We'll read in at verse 1. 2 Kings 2, 1. "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha to Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men and the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. He saw no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces, and took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah and that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw it, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Let's pray the Lord will bless his word. Precious Holy Father, we thank thee for the inspired text. We've read it again tonight and we enjoy it. And we pray that just in these next few minutes, the Spirit of God would tenderly and graciously warm our heart to thyself. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Seems to me that the passage we've read together this evening of events that took place on the day of the rapture, we have three significant statements or facts. First, we have the review of life, verses 1 to 8. Elijah was going to be privileged to review certain elements and experiences of life. There was a request for life in verse 9. And finally, there was rapture and a new life in verse 11. These will guide us in our thoughts for tonight. A review of life. Elijah is aware that soon, by the mighty power of God, he's going to be glory bound. But before he does, there are four places that he must visit. And I'm confident that as far as this great man of God was concerned, they were spiritually significant to him. He looked forward to being led by God to these places that meant so much not only to him, but to all of Israel. Notice the first place to receive his visit was Gilgal. Gilgal. It was precious to Israel. That's where they arrived after 40 years wandering in a dry and barren wilderness. Finally, they would arrive at Gilgal and thence move in to take over the land that flowed with milk and honey that had been promised to Abram centuries ago. And so it's off to Gilgal, and here I believe what God would remind his servant of was the mighty hand of the Lord 600 years before. Wonderful, unique experience. It was here that the way would be cleared under God. If his people would obey his word, they would be able to move in and take over this wonderful land. Elijah remembered all he had been taught and learned of Gilgal. What was the significant thing about Gilgal? Simply this. It was at Gilgal that the ordinance of circumcision was reintroduced. For 40 years it hadn't been practiced while the people of Israel came through the wilderness. But now, as they're about to enter the land, they must again be reminded of the ordinance that God had given. He did so, you remember, when he spoke to Abraham, gave him the Abrahamic covenant, told Abraham of all that he was going to give him and his people, all the blessings that would be theirs. And then the ordinance was introduced as God's covenant between himself and his servant. And so it was necessary now that this people that had been in bondage for those years, that had come through the wilderness, their forefathers were in bondage. They hadn't known bondage. All that had known the bondage, now their carcasses were strewn in the wilderness. And only Caleb and Joshua, the faithful spies, would enter the land. But now it's necessary to introduce the ordinance once again to the people of God, to remind them they're God's people. They're different. They're separated from a world. And they're separated to God. And God has given this as a covenant between himself and those he holds dear. A covenant, beloved, that he is closer to keeping tonight than he has ever been. And as we watch the events in Palestine this evening, we can see how God is working and bringing all the pieces of the unique puzzle together for his glory, that ultimately the land might be theirs and theirs alone. This ordinance spoke of separation. And God has always desired that his people be a separated people. They have been under the tyranny and the bondage of the Egyptian. But now they're released from it. And Gilgal simply means rolling away. And God says, you've come to Gilgal. And it has the name of rolling away because I've rolled away the reproach that had been upon you. Now they were free under God as a separated people to live for the Lord they should love and follow. It spoke of separation from the world of Egypt. Beloved, I find it most interesting that this man, in the closing hours or days, whatever, of his life, was willing and anxious to go to Gilgal, the place of separation. Elijah wanted to go into the presence of God as a man separated totally to him. May it be a lesson for you and me as we grow older and near that great event that we would purpose before God that we don't want anything to do with a world that's destined for the flames. All that we've amassed, we're going to leave behind. The wealth, the bank accounts, the automobiles, the homes, everything going to be left behind. We're going, and we're leaving it. Then let us be separated men and women to the God who loved us and gave himself for us. So this was Gilgal. Let us turn away from the world with all of its appeal, and let's face it, even at our stage in life, there are things in the world that can still appeal. But may we give it all up for God. I repeat that Elijah, I believe, wanted to go into God's presence separate from the world. He didn't want to take the smell of this dirty, rotten, defiled, polluted, sin-depraved world into the presence of his God. Even at the close of life, he wished to remember the one to whom he belonged, the one who had blessed him over the years, kept him, and used him for his glory. May that be your desire, and may that be mine as well. Then notice verse 2. The Lord sent him to Bethel, some 15 miles west of Gilgal. Bethel, whereas Gilgal meant rolling and spoke of separation. Well, Bethel speaks of the house of God, fellowship with God, and separated men and women enjoy fellowship with God. I repeat, they don't want the world. They can joyfully sing and surrender, take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever through eternal years the same. He was prepared to go to Bethel, the house of God. And it is God who communes with separated men at the place called Bethel. This was the place, of course, you remember, where God met with Jacob. And on that memorable occasion, Genesis chapter 26, remember Jacob's words, as he said, "Surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not." Oh, the preciousness of fellowship with God. Beloved brethren and sisters, let's go in for enjoying it. How many more days we may have, we do not know. But this we do know. We can enjoy him in every day that our God in his goodness gives to us. That was Elijah's aspiration, I am sure. What a joy to enjoy his fellowship, day by day and moment by moment. Are there places that you can look back to tonight, and they were precious for only one purpose? You met God there. You knew the luxury of being alone with him. Oh, dear brethren and sisters, let's encourage one another to go in for enjoying God. We're going to do so for all eternity. So let's enjoy him more and more as the days go on. And so to the place of rolling or separation, the man before he goes to glory visits. Then it's off to Bethel, the house of God. Then before the rapture, he wants to go to Jericho. Jericho. This was the place where God's power was known. Isn't it great to see places, to have experienced places, even on this planet, where God's power has been known. And you've been a part of it. You've seen God at work. And there is no other way to explain it than to say, God was at work there. His power was evident, and I enjoyed it. And this was the place of God's power and blessing. This was where the Jordan was crossed. Place of separation, then of fellowship, and now of power. And what does God do? Why, he commands his servant Joshua to lead the people about the great city before he gives it to them. And you remember the story so well? Once every 6 days, without saying a word, making a noise, they just walked around the city. I'm sure those who inhabited that city must have looked at those poor Israelites and thought, boy, the heat sure got those guys. Around the city they went, once a day, 6 days. On the seventh day, when the inhabitants of Jericho figured they would stop the first time around, why, they went around again and again until they had circled that city some 7 times. When they had, not a word spoken. Why, the Israelites put the trumpets and the ram's horns to their lips, and they gave a blast. When that blast ascended to heaven, down came the walls in which those people had trusted and upon which they had relied. God's power was known. the walls came down. Here Israel was in a position to move in and possess the land they'd been promised. And so, ere Elijah went to heaven, he wished to see the place where God's power had been displayed. If you were given the choice tonight to go someplace that in your life God had manifested His power, where would it be? Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, I read these words. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. Isn't that great? Just to look back. Say, boy, the Lord led me here, and He led me there. He blessed me over here, and He blessed me over there. And in this, beloved, we can rejoice. Thrilling to look back. But then, the fourth place, ere His departure for heaven, was the Jordan. Verse 6, the Lord sent him to Jordan. Elijah would go at the command of God to this place so rich in history. And I'm sure that as he stood there, after 4 decades of wandering in that parched wilderness, he would be reminded again of what his people had experienced there. It's the Jordan. No doubt he would recall what he had heard and been taught, and would have remembered that the people under Joshua were to come to the Jordan seemed a formidable obstacle. But under God, when the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant, their feet touched the waters parted, and those priests with that holy vessel walked into the valley of the river, and they paused right at the lowest point. And as they stood there, the people of Israel, God's blood-bought, redeemed people, walked through the Jordan and up the other side. But you remember what happened. Before the final men went up from the Jordan, a man from every tribe, first they built a cairn of rocks where the feet of the priest had stood. And then they built another cairn of rocks on the other side. Beautiful picture. Why? There are those rocks in the bottom of the Jordan. The priests now have climbed up the side and they're safe on the far side of the Jordan. Now the waters come in over the Jordan. And that cairn of rocks that speaks in such a beautiful way of your beloved Lord and mine is covered with the waters of the Jordan. Beloved, the Jordan speaks of death. It speaks of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you and I might spend much time there. I often enjoy as we gather together for the Lord's Supper, Psalm 88, verse 7. There I read, Thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. The waves went over that cairn of rocks. But our Lord Jesus Christ was afflicted with those waves of wrath at Calvary. Psalm 42, verse 7. All thy waves and billows are gone over me, said the psalmist. What a picture. What a picture of the sufferings of Christ at Calvary. The billows, every one, broke upon Him. Hear the psalmist speaking prophetically in 69 and verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters are coming unto my soul. I think I saw a little boat riding the waves, and it was afflicted. And the waves went over the little boat. Finally, the little boat went to the bottom. And so it was at Calvary. Our Lord went to the bottom. The little fellow was being taken for a boat ride by his daddy. Father put his hands on the oars and leaned on them. They weren't very far from the shore. And the little boy said, "Daddy, the water's over my head." "Yes, son, water's over your head." Further they rowed into the little lake. "Daddy, are the waters over your head?" "Yes, son, they're over my head." Little fellow bewildered and lost in thought. Finally he said, "Daddy, are the waters over God's head?" Beloved, there was a day when the waters were over God's head. In the person of his incarnate Son, who left the glory and came to earth, would you believe it, to die for the likes of you and me. He did. That was the Jordan. But there was another cairn of rocks, thank God for this one. They've erected them on the resurrection side of the Jordan. What do they stand for? I believe they stand for resurrection. We view this evening hour by faith across, embedded on Skull Hill. He was taken down from that, laid in Joseph's new tomb. But the tomb is empty. Praise God, the tomb's empty. He's alive. Resurrection. And that cairn of rocks speaks so beautifully of our resurrected Lord. Alive. And tonight, praise God in the glory. You and I will soon join him there. Helen's dad was a godly man. I think every time Helen and I dated, when we came home, regardless of the hour, Dad Thompson was in the big chair in the dining room. Remember the old-fashioned bridge lamps? One of those illuminating the Bible. And Dad Thompson was enjoying the Lord. Often when we'd come home at the close of a gospel meeting, I used to like to tease the dear old man. I'd say, "Dad, how did you enjoy the meeting tonight?" And invariably the answer would be, "Arn, he only preached a half a gospel." "Dad, what do you mean? He didn't tell us of the resurrection." And that bothered the man who enjoyed his risen Savior. Beloved, he's alive tonight. Praise God he's alive. And the Jordan would remind us, in all of its beauty, of the place where he died, but praise God rose to live forever. Where would you go tonight if you knew the rapture was to take place Wednesday at 12? Few places I'd like to go. I'd like to go back to the city of Vancouver, Canada. Told you about it last night. But there's no Seymour Street Gospel Hall there now. They've taken it down, and it's nothing but a parking lot. But I'd just like to stand on that sacred site and once more thank God for meeting a young man in his sins at that place. I'd like to go to the place of my rebirth. I'd like to go to Camp Lilolai tonight. Precious place. I'd like to walk along a number of its paths. Recall that night when I almost tripped over a boy sitting weeping on the path. "Erie, what are you doing here?" "Arne, my life hasn't counted for God. I want to get right with God tonight." I'd like to go back and sit at Gary's side. I'd like to see that gospel service at Lilolai draw to a close. And Mary come to me and say, "Arne, I want to be saved." Mary was dabbling with Jehovah's Witnesses doctrine. But she'd come to camp. God had spoken to her. I'd like to walk with her again to the little cabin, sit down with an open Bible, and recall her point being pointed to Christ. Then, after that, I'd like to run with her across to the lodge as her girlfriends and boyfriends waited for her and hear her exclaim in such an unorthodox fashion, "I'm so darn happy." But beloved, unorthodox or not, Mary found Christ, and she's gone on to prove it. I'd like to see Mary. I'd like once more to sit at a microphone and plead with listeners to trust the Savior. What an honor it has been. And then, you'll understand, I'd like to get together with my family, our family, and with theirs. I'd like to put my arms around all of them. Son, daughter, daughter-in-law, son-in-law, 6 grandkids. Just like to tell them once more what they already know. I love them from the bottom of my heart. And I'd like to make sure that they're going to be with me there in the glory. In those days, just before he comes again, there was a request for life in verse 9. Elisha has come to know and to love his mentor. And as he does, Elijah turns to him and he says, "Now, Elisha, I'm leaving you. Is there anything I can give you or leave with you?" "Oh," says Elisha, "if only you'd give me a double portion of your spirit." You know, a couple of things touch my heart here. Here's a man that served God faithfully, and he's soon going to be with him. And he looks at a man and says, "Anything I can do for you, Elisha?" Elijah was a people person. "Oh," says Elisha, "please, a double portion of your spirit." As I thought of this passage, I had to ask myself the question, Ernest, would anybody ever ask for a double portion of your spirit? I'm sure they wouldn't. But I'd so like to live for Christ that it would encourage them to do so. A double portion he wants. Elisha's desire will be recognized and acknowledged. You see, Elisha had a great mentor in the person of Elijah. Elijah taught him well. He learned God from Elijah. And the day would come when the Lord would take his mentor home. And did you notice what Elisha said? He said, he cried, "My father, my father." I believe he recognized him as his father in the faith. The man who had been used to build God into his life. And so this was his desire, that he might know more of God through this man. A double portion. Elijah said, "That's going to be hard. But I'll tell you what. You keep your eye on me. And if you see me go to heaven, you'll get that double portion." You know, I'm confident Elijah never took his eye off the servant of God he'd come to love so deeply and dearly. A double portion. And he saw him go, "My father, my father." And he cries, "The chariot of God and the horsemen of Israel." What is he doing here? Verse 12. Well, I think Elisha was just trying to think of the strongest force he could possibly think of. It wasn't cruise missiles in his day. Why? It was horsemen. It was the chariots of Israel and his father, Elijah. And he's going and he sees him go and he cries. So as he ascends into the presence of God, did he receive that double blessing? You read the life of Elisha. You know what? Elijah performed 8 miracles. How many did Elisha perform? That's right, 16. God honored his request. Beloved, May you and I have that desire to emulate Christ. May we have that desire to encourage the young or the needy in the Lord and encourage them in the ways of God. But finally, there's rapture and a new life. Verse 11. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Isn't that interesting? No prior announcement to the world. But it was so repetitious, wasn't it, when we were reading the passage? That the places they visited, the sons of the prophets came out, these men who were students of the word. They said to Elisha, Elisha, do you know what? God's going to take your head, your leader, your mentor. He's going to take him away today. And Elisha says, I know it. Just hold your peace. Just hold your peace. The world didn't know anything about it. But the men who knew God's word did. They saw it take place. Beloved, someday, and very, very soon, you and I are going to see the rapture take place because we're going to be a part of it. Having trusted Him as Lord and Savior, whether in the grave or on the sod, when the shout is heard, we rise. We'll be forever with the Lord. What a moment. Interesting, I repeat, that the world didn't know anything about it. But the men who studied God's word did. May you and I, as the day draws near, study it more and more, appreciating it to the full, and rejoicing in the fact that someday soon, beloved, it's going to be history. Christ will have come, and we will be with Him, and indeed, the rapture and a new life. What a moment that will be. The world wasn't expecting that to happen. A number of years ago, a popular news broadcaster in the city of Toronto, Gordon Sinclair by name, made this statement. As he so often did, he ridiculed God's word and gospel. He made this statement. My wife heard it. We may miss the rapture, but we'll see it on the late night news. Never. You see the aftermath of it, but you won't see the rapture. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and it's history. How wonderful. The men of God knew it. You and I know it. Therefore, beloved, let's not only await it, but look forward to it with keen anticipation, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you know that in this book, I learn of a crown that is given to those who are looking for the rapture? Now, that isn't a case of, I'm looking for the rapture. Lord, please come today because the mortgage is due tomorrow. No, that's not the thought. The thought is this, Lord, I want you to come. Please come. More than anything else, I want to see you. I want to be with you. I want to be like you. That's the thought. We're looking for the glorious appearing, and I love this title, the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Boy, if there's any text that should prove the deity of Christ, to me that's it. He's coming. The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we look forward with delight to that day. As far as Elijah was concerned, he went at the bidding of the Lord in the chariot of fire, and he was off to the glory. Beloved, someday, very, very soon, the rapture will take place. And on the authority of the word of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And get this, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Aren't they comforting words? Jesus is coming. Great words. He's coming. And when he does, it's for you. And we praise our God. An 18-year-old college student wrote these words. Cruising down the freeway, just like any other day, the sky was full of clouds. The roads were full of cars. The radio blared its songs, its slogans, into my ignoring ears. Then, the blare of a trumpet. My fingers flew for the volume control. The radio was dead, but the trumpet was not. The car blurred away and was gone. And suddenly, there came a swelling in my soul, a glorious ecstasy. He's come! He's come! Praise God, Jesus has come! And brethren and sisters, it's going to happen. It must happen. This book says it will. My Savior said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, what? I will come again. Come for who? The likes of you and me. Praise God, he's coming. In view of that coming then, let's be men like Elijah, wishing to live a life for God, wishing to know that life of communion at the holy place, and then under our great and our wonderful God, seeking to go to the place of power, and then the place of death and resurrection. May it be paramount in our lives, because he's coming again. Let's pray that it will be soon, shall we? Father, we thank thee this evening for thy love and thy lovely Son. And Father, what thrills us tonight is the fact that we are so very near to seeing him. We've never been so close to the rapture as we are tonight. We can say with another, I can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door. In my heart is longing to be with him evermore. Father, hasten the day when our Lord will come. And in the meantime, Father, please save those near and dear and those who are wandering in the byways of sin tonight. We pray in our Savior's name. We do so, thanking thee for this week we have enjoyed walking with Elijah. May each dear brother and sister who spent time here in this building be blessed in their souls until we meet again, here or in the glory. We pray in our Savior.